It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
I now support fully the Bills being a run-heavy team. I'm making a personal change of heart. Done some soul-searching. I want them to hand the ball to James Cook a lot. And I'm just going to live that life of liking the run game. It's new for me. I've not been hacked. I'm not being held hostage.
I just traded for James Cook in a dynasty league.
Allen wide open to Cook in the left flat, racing to the end zone. Is he in? Yes, he is. The Cook has found the kitchen.
We decided we are now run heavy. Cook's going to get the ball a lot. He had a lot of yards from scrimmage last year. I think he's going to have a big day today.
Handoff goes to Cook, and he sails into the end zone for his second touchdown of the game.
I'm now on the James Cook train.
Whoa. Let's not.
James Cook.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Easy, Josh.
The James Cook train.
I'm all aboard James Cook. I'm in the kitchen. I'm ready to. Yes, Chef. Made that dynasty trade. I feel pretty good about it today. The train.
You said it, not me.
Yeah, but the horn made it sound real. Anyway. Hey, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. James Cook, 3 touchdowns. I've got a note here about Tua that it's, it's rough. So Mike Gennetti of SpotTrack pointed this out about Tua's guarantees and all this. Ready?
Yeah.
He writes, while a full recovery is the only real focus here, in response to questions regarding Tua's contract, the deal includes $167 million guaranteed for injury.
Yeah.
$43 has already been paid.
Okay.
If he is medically cleared to return to football but opts to retire, he will forego the remaining $124 million guaranteed.
Ooh.
Barring a settlement. If he's medically forced into retirement, he has a right to the $124 million. So, what does the NFL do with concussions? You would be choosing to retire versus forced out. Injury settlements, of course, can come into play here. But let's just hope that in addition to Tua having to make this very difficult decision, his health, his long-term health, that it doesn't get ugly and the league doesn't come out of this looking like, well, you could have played. Or the Dolphins don't look like some second-class franchise where Stephen Ross is keeping money, saying, oh, you could have played, my guy. It could get ugly.
That
I don't think it will, but it could. That sounds like the language could get ugly. There might be specifics in his contract regarding concussions. Who knows?
That could enter the thought process, though, of a guy trying to decide, like, if what to do. If he thinks, man, like, if I go down this road, there's a chance that I'm going to have to fight here, that it's going to get ugly, that the relationship with the team is going to be burned down, and the league, right? Like, the league part of it, think about what was just said there. Him being cleared to return. To be at a point where you've had 5 concussions and there is no clearing for return. You know, like, you were medically cleared to return. You were medically okay to play. Really, with 5 concussions, he was clear. Look what happens every time he hits his head on the field. You're going to tell me that the NFL is going to sit there in court or something and try to argue that, oh, no, he was fine. He was completely fine to return to the field. Man, I don't know. That could, I don't know that I want to predict it would get ugly either. It could, though. If they wanted to fight him on it or he wanted to fight them on it, and I wonder if that enters his decision-making process of, like, if he's on the fence about what to do and his agent's telling him, listen, there's a chance that if you want all this guaranteed money or you want even a portion of it, that, like, we're going to have to do some stuff in court, then maybe that changes his mind on what to do. I don't know.
803-0550. Bills win. Great performance from the defense. Jamarcus Ingram, candidate for Defensive Player of the Week. We've given you some good stats on Vaughn. James Cook had a great day. James Cook yards over expected. Big. It, on the big touchdown run, it was like 43 yards over expected.
Yeah.
So
0.6 chance of scoring a touchdown when they handed him the football. Watch the playback. He dusted number 11, the middle linebacker, David Long. Dude got lost. Like, stumbled through. I think Cook, if you watch the back angle, Cook makes him get lost. He makes him think he's taking the hole on the right.
He hides.
Yeah, and then he bounces to the left, and by the time he's gone left, David Long has stumbled into the other hole, and now Cook's got open field.
I think that happened to the Dolphins and to Long against the Jaguars in their opener, where he went to the wrong gap, and it might have been Bigsby or Etienne. Somebody got loose for a big one. The Dolphins, their season, I mean, what?
It might be over.
Well, Sal just texted me and said, are they going to call Mike White off the Bills practice squad? He was with the Dolphins.
Okay. I think he's probably better than Skylar Thompson.
That's probably right.
But... okay, Mike White's in there. He's better than Skylar Thompson. What are they doing?
I mean, is Ryan Tannehill about to get a $10 million check?
Even with Tannehill, what are they? Are they a playoff team?
Depends. No.
Like
they need competent quarterback play, and I don't know, you know, how perfectly designed is the system for Tua. We might be about to find out.
And Tannehill, like, I actually think they're pretty close when it comes to, like, the caliber of quarterback there. Like, I think they're both guys. They're both... middle of the road starters when Tannehill at least was in his prime, maybe. I don't know if he still is now. But aren't they very different types? Ooh. Like Tannehill, isn't Tannehill like under center, play action type of guy? And Tua is not that at all. He is shotgun, point guard, spread the ball around, out in the flat. Like, I don't think Tannehill is that type of quarterback at all.
I have a horrible thought.
Uh-oh. What?
Who are they going to call?
Ooh, wait a minute. Are you thinking what I'm thinking right now? Or I'm thinking of who you're trying to think of.
Who are they going to call?
Tom?
Yeah. Because if you have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and all this money in this offense...
I'm picking him up in a fantasy league right now.
And what? You're just going to let it sit there for a year? You're paying those two receivers, I think justifiably, like $58 million AAV. Should have let it die on Skylar Thompson's arm,
you know,
for a full year.
This is
Tom's getting a call.
I don't know how bad.
And
this
Tom
is
reading how terrible he was in the booth,
right?
And thinking, I'll throw to a couple of speedsters, hand it to Achan all day.
He did say, "Hold on, I think I could find it because I think
wait till Schefter will be tweeting about it within the hour."
You think?
I don't want to.
Tom
I
Brady.
Wanna, I don't want to think about
here
it.
Here it is. Okay, so this is from April. Tom Brady in a podcast. The headline, Tom Brady won't rule out return to NFL. Retired quarterback Tom Brady stated on Thursday he wouldn't rule out returning to the NFL in a season if a team calls in a, quote, emergency situation. He said that in April. He said he would not rule out returning to the NFL in an emergency situation. This is the team that he almost went to in an agreement to become their quarterback and part owner. He is friends with the minority owner. I don't forget the guy's name, but he's the second owner underneath Stephen Ross.
It's an emergency.
And it's an emergency situation. Wow. I'm so mad I didn't think of it first. That's good.
I'm surprised you didn't. You're rubbing off on me.
Brady to the Dolphins.
What else would they do? Anyway, to the Bills. Give us a call. We'll talk about it. James Cook, Josh Allen, the Dolphins, dead in the water. Ugh. Anyway, Cliff in Kentucky. Hey, Cliff, good morning.
This is always a great win because I have one of those weird families that has Dolphins fans in them. So it's always nice for days like today to talk some smack to the old family chat.
Very nice.
We're actually pretty lucky with this mini bye week that we're going to get right here because hopefully a lot of our players can start, you know, getting healthy and we can start patching together literally a top 10 defense, which realistically none of us thought that we could do this year, but everybody else has been singing the praises of our defense. And I want to chime in too and say, you know, I'm all in. But I do have two concerns. One, do we have a Bass problem? And two, and this one's just me being petty, but last year I feel like Spencer Brown had more false starts than anybody on the offensive line, and then he does it the last 2 weeks. He has two of them. I know we won by 21, but I feel like when we get to these, you know, if we're going to be a number one seed and we have to win more games than we lose, We need all the yards, hidden yards that we can get. But our offensive line and defensive line, that's where we're winning the game. And go Bills, and I'll see you guys soon.
Yeah. Bye. Thanks, Cliff. Bass problem? Someone wrote in and said they think he slipped. And guys were slipping. I don't know. I haven't seen whether or not he did. Could we zoom in on that, whether or not he slipped on the kick?
The kick came off his foot like he slipped. Here we go. I'm watching it right now. Does he slip? No. No, he doesn't slip.
Well, there's slipping and falling, and then there's your plant foot slides, you know, 2 inches in. You stay on your foot, and you shank it off the hosel.
Here, you tell me. Does that happen? Is it Scotty Scheffler off the tee where his feet's moving all over the place? I don't know. It looks like he looked pretty normal.
It looked pretty bad.
It looked like the kick or the kick, like footwork?
The kick. The kick looked like if you or I would have kicked it.
The kick looked bad. The grass was bad last night.
Yeah.
Like it was coming up. Did you notice every time a player, his helmet hit the ground, he would come up with grass like stuck in the face mask? It happened to Ed Oliver last night. I think it happened
to Johnson.
Ty Johnson. Yeah, like there were a couple other guys I think too. So there was definitely issues with the grass. I don't know though. Like the kick looks pretty normal to me. I think he just completely missed it. That's my guess.
I want to get you a quick stat here on the Bills' dominance over the Dolphins, but put it in context. So last year, the Bills' win percentage was 647, right? And that's 11-6. It's pretty good. The Ravens were 7-6. Why am I getting into win percentage? Because Warren Sharp pointed out that while the Bills are 11-1 in their last 12 games against Miami, you know Miami's record against everybody else? They're 44-31. Pretty good.
Yeah, that's good.
In fact, it's almost worth if they could, I don't know if there's really a silver lining or anything to gain from this, but if you could just go ahead and say, hey, what would it look like if you could be 500 against the Bills? What would your record have been in the last however many years? And the answer is you'd be 49-26, which is fantastic.
That's amazing.
Yeah. The Bills are literally ruining your life.
Right. That is the part of it. It's the fact that they're doing this to they're not doing this to New England. They have, who's been the second best team in the AFC East the last 5 years? Miami. Mm-hmm. By record, for sure, right? Who have the Bills had the easiest time with in the AFC East? They have a hard time with the Jets, right? Even when the Jets have Zach Wilson at quarterback, the Bills have a hard time with the Jets. They lose multiple games to the Jets. The Bills, they do blow out the Patriots a lot, but they've got multiple losses to the Patriots. I think you could argue, by record, I think it would be true, that in the last 5 years, the Dolphins are the second best team, and they're the team the Bills have the easiest time with in this division. And that's pretty crazy. That's a blown opportunity if you're Miami. That is one single team is in your way. That's it. Just like there's nothing else to do if you're the Dolphins. There's no, I don't know what else. Well, I guess now there is more to do because you've got to figure out if your quarterback is going to play in the NFL. But other than that, there's nothing else. The only thing you have to figure out if you're the Miami Dolphins is what in the world can we do to beat the Bills? And nothing has worked except cooking them on the sidelines.
Yeah. Johnny in Buffalo. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, guys. You know, great win last night. Great to see, you know, Cook get some touchdowns there. And, you know, I love seeing the fact that I don't think our offense has really had to show too much in the past few weeks. I mean, we moved the ball pretty easily against Arizona, even though, you know, people talk about being past the ball until, you know, 2 minutes left in the first half. We only had two passes, whatever. But, you know, when we need to get first downs, when we need to pass the ball, when we need to move the ball, we're not having any trouble. You know, Shakir looks like a bona fide stud out there every time he touches his ball. Kincaid, when he catches the ball, he's kind of bouncing off guys, getting 7-8 yards a pop. It's just, everything just seems pretty easy out there. And, you know, my buddy texted me this morning, and I can't stop laughing at it. Do we have, like, the best group of cornerbacks with probably the worst numbers in football? Like, their jersey numbers are horrible.
Yes.
I mean, this is the Dolphins who can't beat the Bills, and they're getting, you know, embarrassed by guys wearing number 47 and 46 and 31. It's comical to watch, and it's just like, these dudes don't care. They're just out there balling. McDermott gets them ready. And I just, I'm not going to lie. I've been kind of a McDermott skeptic for a bit. You know, he's a defensive head coach. I don't love it. But, man, he's got this defense firing on all cylinders, and it makes the offensive job a lot easier. And it's fun to watch. So I'm excited to see how the season goes. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Johnny. Yeah, over the course of a year, you know, you learn about your team and what kind of games can they win. There are plenty that would say, well, the Dolphins are a team that's built to run away from you. You know, they get up and then they're going to – last year, they were going to hammer you, blow out Denver by 50 points. And then they get down by a couple of scores and not going to come back. This was a stat for – was it Lamar, right? Lamar had never overcome a 10-point deficit.
Yeah.
And then he's done that a couple times. Mahomes, his record when he falls behind 10 points is above 500. Can you win every type of game? And right now we've seen the Bills win both games on the schedule so far. There will be other types of games along the way, and those will present tests. So I don't think if you're wondering about, you know, could this offense win a shootout with Phil and the team here, that's yet to be answered. We'll find out. If they play the Niners and they run it all over them and throw it all over the field and put up 35 and beat them, then they can win that type of game, and that'll feel pretty darn good. And if they can beat the Lions and yesterday, Ben Baldwin put out his tier rankings, team tiers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the betting markets right now, how teams are ranked based on, you can kind of pull out of point spreads, what the markets are giving them from this team is this good and this team is that good. And it drives home the Bills' schedule like nothing else. There are six teams he has on tier one, and the Bills are probably about to go to that tier, and Miami's going to come off it.
Mm-hmm.
And they play four teams up there, San Francisco, Detroit, Kansas City, Houston. On tier two, they play Baltimore, the Jets twice, and Jacksonville.
Baltimore's on tier two?
Baltimore's
wow.
tier two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's just your schedule is loaded with the good teams.
And how many of the bad ones do they play? Like none of them?
Tennessee and New England are on tier five out of six, and that's it.
And that's it?
All their games are on tiers 1, 2, 3, and three games on six against Tennessee and
New England.
That might be a little confusing to kind of like, hey, there's six tiers you're supposed to know about. But the point is,
they play the top teams.
They're gonna be battle tested. They get to the playoffs. I don't know if they'll be 13-4 or 10-7, but they're gonna be battle tested because there's no ducking what's ahead of them.
Well, if they're going to have the toughest schedule in the league, and that's going to give them more losses than it would, you know, in any other year or other years. I mean, having the division total come down will be extremely helpful. Like, if you thought, man, three-horse race AFC East, this could be, you might need 11, you might need 12 this year to win the division if everybody's going to be this good. And if Tua's going to be out for a long time now and the Jets are not as good as what we thought their ceiling was, suddenly, like, is 10 possible? Can I get it to where, hey, the Bills are actually pretty good. The Bills are actually really good. But, you know, they lost to the Niners by 4. And they lost to the Chiefs by 3. And they lost to the Ravens by 2. Like, they just have these losses to great teams. But now it doesn't take as much to win the division. Like, that could be a formula for, hey, their record is 10-7 or 11-6, but 10-7 more so for the point, and still feel like, okay, they got a good shot of actually doing something in the playoffs here because, oh, we got a home game. Because, hey, Tua was hurt and Rodgers was really old.
Tony in Buffalo next up. Hey, Tony.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'll get to the defensive point momentarily, but something I didn't mention to the producer is, you know, for me, without piling on to you know, last night I think was an example of why Bills fans were probably very encouraged by Miami making the investment on him. He just wasn't very good, and you know, it culminated in a play that was kind of hilarious when your quarterback chicken arms a throwaway for a pick six. We wish him the best with the injury and stuff like that, but I think I think a lot would be on him today if it wasn't for, you know, what he's suffering through. On the defensive side, guys, with the dying defense, I know it's not something that we can go to on early downs when, you know, you're going to leave yourself susceptible to the run. But, man, when Taron Johnson comes back, how do you take guys like Cam Lewis and Jamarcus Ingram off the field? You know, I know that it's usually a nickel with them. They like the second linebacker, especially when it's, you know, Milano and Bernard, and they're good linebackers. But, you know, now we're going to talk about maybe rolling out, because I'm worried about the Bernard injury. We're talking about rolling out a Baylen Specter versus a Cam Lewis or Jamarcus Ingram. I think, I don't know how you make a dime, you know, a base per se. You can't. But man, oh man, there are a lot of good football players in that package that that need to see the field, you know, probably more so than they had planned. They're just good football players, and they got to be out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think I don't want to take all credit away from the guys that are in there and are playing, but the more replacement-level players they put in that perform well, the more the coaching staff is going to get the credit, right?
Yeah.
If it were one guy, if it were just Jamarcus Ingram in there last night, and it was Taron Johnson was still healthy, maybe, and Milano was healthy, and you know Mike Edwards never got hurt or whatever, and he was making those plays. Okay, it'd be more about Jamarcus Ingram. But when you have like five guys out there that otherwise wouldn't be, and they're all doing at least relatively okay, then it, to me, becomes more about you plug anybody into that secondary. They Kyrie Elam, they clearly have not trusted for multiple seasons to put on the field. And when he's out there, the numbers are still pretty good.
Yeah, they're fine. It's funny, as we mention all this, you're supposed to, you like to believe, the side of the ball that your head coach coaches on, if he's really good, you can make something out of nothing. It's number one reason, going back to when they drafted Elam, I didn't want a corner. You don't need it. You'll put E.J. Right. Gaines in there and Josh Norman and Christian Benford.
Your sixth round pick.
Jamarcus Ingram. Yeah. And you don't need to invest. I mean, I know they're going to do it in the future, and Tre'Davious White was, of course, great. So,
yeah.
But for a corner two, you never need to do that. They probably drafted him to be corner one in time, and that hasn't happened.
But like, they did go out and get another corner one.
That's right.
Douglas is a corner one.
That's right.
I don't know if he was valued that way, but he has performed like that.
He was not valued that way because they got him for effectively a fourth round pick.
Right.
And he's been darn good for them.
Right. He's performed like one. But yep. So maybe it is important to have like one guy at least back there that you can completely trust and is a staple. But man, they are just plugging in since McDermott got here. Like for him, it's even beyond the defense. He's a secondary guy, isn't he? Like secondary coach was his background even before defensive coordinator, and it doesn't. Who is a corner they've put in that has not done well? Anybody? Is there a safety even? Hamlin played a full season. I don't remember every week going like, guys, they got to get Damar Hamlin out of this.
It's the kind of thing where if I gave you a name or someone's going to shout a name, they're going to say it, but in relation to the league, that player didn't do that bad. Like, oh, Levi Wallace. Levi Wallace is pretty good.
Yeah, right.
Josh Norman got torched once he was fine.
Were you about to say by Derrick Henry?
No, I was
because I don't remember another play.
I was going to say I'm pretty sure it was A.J. Brown.
Okay.
In Tennessee, he's covering the number one. He's not supposed to cover the number one.
Okay.
He's supposed to be your number two.
Right.
I think it was A.J. Brown. Anyway, 803-0550, break time. It is Victory Friday. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. We are back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official Apple of the Buffalo Bills. More of your phone calls. Sal, top of the hour, as the Bills cruise to 2-0.
Handoff goes to Cook, and he sails into the end zone for his second touchdown of the game. One receiving, one rushing, and the Bills up 16-7 with 6:25 left in the half. Here's the snap. Handoff goes to Cook, and a work through the middle, through a hole, and into the secondary. 30, 25, 20, 10, 5, flips into the end zone for the touchdown. 49 yards for James Cook, his third touchdown of the game. And it is a raucous celebration on the Buffalo sideline. Oh, my.
Chris Brown on the call. How do you like the flip into the end zone? Good flip.
That's his celly now, huh? He's done that a couple times.
When he gets the chance, yeah.
He reached 22 miles per hour on that play, which is the fastest of his career. And also, he is the first Bill on a rush to reach 20 miles per hour since.
On a rush since?
2022 was the season. Nobody did it for the Bills last year. Reaching 20 miles per hour.
Matt Breida. He was fast.
It was a receiver.
John Brown.
McKenzie.
Isaiah McKenzie, okay.
Isaiah McKenzie reached 20.
Very good. Highlights of the game brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. Train for what's next is Football Friday here on WGR. Victory Friday. Had somebody, you were in a back and forth about Allen, talk about, did he trash talk David Long on a play?
Yeah.
So it's the first play of the second quarter. I've got the replay up here.
You found it?
Yeah.
I was just looking
for it. I'll show it to you. First play of the second quarter.
Okay.
Allen pump fakes and then runs. And this is a play where he slides.
Okay.
And after he slides, it appears that maybe David Long is going to talk to him or say something to him.
Okay.
He chirps him. Allen starts walking back to the huddle. And he does do the thing where he looks and reads the nameplate.
That's amazing. I had missed that.
You can't see if he's talking or what he's... But he does stop and look back and read his nameplate as if to...
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Who are you?
Yes. That's amazing. That's the guy right there that was voted number one in the NFL amongst trash talkers.
Yep. All right. Right to some calls. Happy Victory Friday, Jeremy and Joe. Just rolling through it, you know, stream of consciousness with all of you joining us here on the phones. If you've tried to get through before and couldn't or waited a little long, we're trying to get through as many as we can. We have open lines right now. A couple on, but a couple open. Steve in Albany. Good morning, Steve.
Jeremy, Joe, how are you guys this morning?
Fantastic.
Good. Great.
Good. Hey, so I have to take you for your guys' word this morning saying that I'm taking the opportunity to tell everybody who's a Sean McDermott hater to get on the McDermott train today, because you have to think of a couple of things, guys, right? What is the trend right now in the NFL after week one? Isn't it too soft shell defense and there was the lowest passing in the league in week one? Everybody is going to this defensive scheme, and who was originally starting that? Who was the person that kind of trended in that direction? Sean McDermott. And you could arguably say, based on the stats that you guys have given up, he's one of the best in the league to do it. So if you were to kind of combine it to what everybody thinks is sexy, right? What is sexy? Kyle Shanahan, Mike McDaniel, and all the things offensively with motion. That was a trend last year. Ben Johnson and how unique he is in offense. Couldn't you kind of correlate that to the trends you're seeing defensively in the league? And then if you're correlating it to it defensively, couldn't you also state that we have the one of the best defensively to do what's the current trend in the league at the moment to stop offenses and stop this motion and stop all these things that have been trends over the last couple of years? I think there's something to be said about that, and I think Bills fans should have a little bit of a sense of pride to that, also have a sense of relief that we have someone like that. And listen, I'd rather be in that position with a more than capable head coach that's ahead of the trend on something in the league, as well as a general manager just that just continues to get the type of players that are needed for the situations, as well as the particular systems that he puts in place.
The one thing, thanks Steve, it will only come down to, for legacy, he's got to beat those coaches in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Because as much as you could say about, I don't disagree at all, he's one of the better defensive coaches in football. He knows defense. They get players, they plug them in, they lose pieces, they get it done. There will be massive tests this year, and they might not make the Super Bowl, but we'll see what they look like against Detroit and San Francisco. We'll see what they look like against Houston and Bobby Slowick. Last year's Final Four in the NFL, who is it? It's three offensive head coaches and one John Harbaugh. But it's Andy Reid, Kyle Shanahan, I guess Dan Campbell's, whatever. But that's Ben Johnson.
Technically, he did come
that's
from
Ben Johnson.
But,
like, let's. Yeah. I'm without disagreeing with what you're saying, I'm going to slow up on he's proving that this is a ahead of the curve.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the curve has been offensive coaches winning an awful lot more than defensive coaches in the last few years. Now, the last hiring run had Seattle hired a defensive guy. Houston did with D'Amico Ryans. And, of course, they have Bobby Slowick, who's there. So we'll see. We'll see. The Bills are going to be tested. And I'm not sure. It's kind of I guess like you can have it both ways. The Bills can have an amazing defense and dominate Miami. They also might have a middle-of-the-road defense and dominate Miami, because they always do. Like what happened last night? Tua gave the ball to them three times. Once as a deflection off a receiver. But I've tons of faith in McDermott to have a good defense almost every year.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, they'll have a ton of cap space. They'll probably upgrade at a couple spots, whether that's defensive tackle or whatever. They're going to spend money. Again, this is not a, you're never a final version of your team. We spend a lot of time talking receiver. We can talk defensive line, linebacker, all up and down the board. They're going to add more pieces and continue this changeover. They have a bunch of picks in next year's draft, too.
But listen, when it comes to McDermott and like get on the bandwagon for like silencing the haters or whatnot, what is usually the point to be made, though, about McDermott? It is nothing to do with his defenses in the regular season. Like, he is absolutely deserving of credit this morning because of what he has done to the Miami Dolphins for 5 years defensively and how good he is at limiting big plays. There is no question that in the regular season, he has got the answers. But that's not usually the point you hear. Usually the point you hear is when you get to the playoffs, it doesn't translate. We were talking about it, maybe was it last training camp, that somebody did a thorough breakdown of the Bills' defenses and how they don't change the way they play when they get to the postseason, and that there are other defenses that do that and they get better results. Like, to me, yes, McDermott absolutely is one of the better defensive coaches in the league, but if you are coming in this morning to attack like the McDermott hater, the McDermott hater is just waiting for January to make their criticism.
Yeah.
Where he has to prove.
They were also here last week talking about the field goal of death, playing conservative.
I love that he went for that 4th and 3.
Yeah, me too.
Love it. I wanted him to go for the 4th and 1 on the next play.
I was afraid they called timeout just to kick, but thank goodness they didn't do that.
To be fair, also on the 4th and 1 that I wanted them to go for, because just sneak it. You're at the 45. Allen had dropped the snap the play before. So was there an immediate concern there of like, ooh, do I need to bring him over here and make sure, like, is his finger bothering him on his left hand? Is that why he dropped the snap? Because if I got to have you go under center to sneak it, you know, maybe I don't want to do that.
803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. Open phone lines, more calls. If you're on hold, stick with us. We'll get to you. We'll get Sal in at 9 o'clock, recapping this Bills win. Another dominant performance. This time it's the defense that does it. Josh Allen, a quiet game by his Miami standards. Still pretty good. Fantasy football, if you had Josh, he had 9 points. One of his quieter games altogether. But they didn't need much from him. Nice. It's kind of nice. Whenever they win a game without Josh being Superman, our reaction is to say, whoa, this team's amazing. Look. Someone else did it. A lot of someone else's. Jeremy and Joe on a Victory Friday on WGR.
Looking over the middle, pressure coming. Has to heave it, and it's intercepted. Coming the other way, and going for 6 is Jamarcus Ingram. A 30-yard interception return for a touchdown. Tua's 3rd pick of the night.
Time now for Building the Bills, brought to you by Hain Supply. From our Buffalo roots to nationwide sales and service, we are your industrial contractor supplier.
Today, our Building the Bills will be, by the way, was our first caller today a guy going to the stadium to build it? That's pretty good.
Yes, it was. And I learned today that there are 700 people that are going to be down there doing it.
Yeah. That's, I got some of the facts and figures. About the stadium.
I also drove past the mound of dirt for the first time down like Southwestern Boulevard last week, and I could not believe how tall it was. And also, I don't actually know. Is that going to stay there? That giant mound of dirt? Are they going to bring that somewhere else at some point?
Because it's just skiing. Sledding.
He's going to be skiing in the middle of Southwestern.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
So some of the timelines going forward, like here we are, the start of the canopy, so that's the roof, right?
Yes. Yep.
As of a week ago, the canopy was due to be started on the 26th.
Of this month?
Yeah. This month.
Wow.
Canopy soon.
All right. And estimated completion in January.
Yes. Of the structural steel of the canopy.
Okay. So next season, like this season, we're seeing it go up in real time. Next season, isn't it just going to look like the stadium is built?
Yeah.
But the inside is going to be not done.
Exterior facade is scheduled to be done in March.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Next stadium, you'll just look across and like it'll look like it's done. It just isn't yet.
Yep.
In the inside.
There it is. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Ben in Chicago, want to get you on the other side with Sal on the Tua stuff, because we've got Bart Scott had something really interesting to say about concussions and the conversation around Tua. So, Ben, we'll get to you right on the other side. We'll bring in Sal as well, waiting for, news. There's going to be news today on it, but eager to find out how Tua is doing. What happens with that story is tough. Tough one. Jeremy and Joe, Victory Friday. The Bills get a big win. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's. Start your day the Crosby's way.
Thompson back to pass, and he's sacked! Von Miller beat the right tackle badly and got right in on Thompson for a turnover on downs.
That slice of audio brought to you by Picasso's Pizza, your game day tailgating headquarters.